Hi there, and welcome to another episode of the Jen and Leah podcast. Our topic today is about the Superwoman syndrome, where we will talk about women who try to do too much. We have with us today Topaz, a mother of two living in New York, and Patsy, who's also a part of our stay-at-home parents of Malaysia Yahoo group. And she's going to be joining us on the message chat, so we'll be reading her participation. Our topic today, we're going to be talking about the Superwoman syndrome. And what is the Superwoman syndrome? It is actually a medical condition. I've done some reading where we as women feel as though we need to do everything. We basically want to control every aspect of our lives and maximize maximize whatever opportunities we have, like in every aspect. We want to be good mothers, we want to be to have careers and so on. So Leah, why don't you share the story about your friend who was you were saying right on the group that she was doing too much.
Well, this friend of mine, she was holding on two jobs, looking after the kids. She was expected to cater to the in-laws. Her mom is in hospital. She's got to spend time with her dad as well. So she's doing all these things, and she's like, oh, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. So I said to her, look, financially, do you need to work two jobs? And she says, no. I said, what does your husband say? And so he says, give up the jobs because, you know, especially with your mom in hospital, really ill, it's better. You know, you had, was your priority, lah, basically. But she says, no, I have to do all these things, you know, otherwise, you know, one side of the family says if she gives up her jobs, what if the husband leaves her, then die, lah, she got nothing to earn. And then the kids are like, the youngest is a few months old, eh? The boy is about 5 or 6, I think. And she's like, Tata, you know, in the long term, isn't, you know, your family, like your mom and your kids, isn't that more important than doing this job stuff, you know? I mean, on the one hand, I know you want your security and all this, lah. I mean, I can understand that, but you can't get back that. But she feels like she has to do all this, and she can't ask for help because, you know, that's her job. I said, so if you collapse and get sick, then nobody, then die, now I'm finished. Mm-hmm. You know, no one can do anything. Yeah. But, you know, it's got me thinking, why is it women always feel like they have to do, we must completely hold the family together and not ask for any help?
Yeah.
And if we ask for help, you know, we must be weak and pathetic and or something like that.
I mean, completely.
But, you know, do you not find that women tend to feel like they must shoulder every single thing?
Yeah, that's why there's
themselves.
Superwoman syndrome. There's no Superman syndrome, you know.
And I know Oprah Winfrey has like so many shows on these things, you know.
Yeah.
Don't have to do everything yourself.
Because we're more organized. We can think, and then we're able to multitask. So we get so irritated when they can't do as fast as us, or you know, as perfect as us, lah.
Yeah, I think we know that we can do it. You know, even if we cannot do it, we try to do it. It's also attitude. You know, we tend to think that if we try and do everything, then everything is within our control. So again, you know, it's like what Topaz said, this is like a control freak thing. But there are so many things in the world.
Who are you calling a control freak?
Hey, I'm a control freak also, someone trying to change.
Proud of it, man.
I know what you mean, man.
Let me read a little bit about some of the things I read online about the syndrome. The Superwoman syndrome is a result of advances in women's rights, the necessity for two incomes, women in the media, and the instinctive desire to nurture and place others first. we want to have it all, you know, because of our higher education, the opportunities for education and work, you know, and of course, you know, our traditional place at home, we want to try and do it all. So, but then the syndrome also brings about medical conditions, you know, like you have pain and increased anxiety, you get depressed, you are irritable, you have mood swings, and you always feel like a failure. Somebody is breathing into the mic. Who's breathing into the mic? Don't.
Not me.
Yeah. Don't. Okay. I can only hear
we don't want any heavy breathing.
So anyway, yeah, the superwoman constantly feels like a failure as a mom or a wife or an employee, and believes that no one else is able to carry the load or share their work at home or in the office. So these are actually the what happens when you have this syndrome, and I myself also, I think that I have my husband even agrees that I have a big problem with letting go. You know, I think maybe it's because I'm afraid that if I don't do it myself, the thing will not get done, or will get done half-heartedly or haphazardly, or, you know, and he says that perhaps it's my standards are too high, or, you know, and or impossible. And I think that's true, because when he takes care of the children, he doesn't care if he messes up the house, whereas I am also constantly wiping and cleaning after the kids, you know. So even when I take care of the kids, the house is, you know, is not too dirty, whereas he doesn't really care.
Can you come and clean my house?
No, I mean, because, you know why, we live in a rental house, you know, and I don't want to have permanent stains.
I know what you mean. And you got carpets, right?
Yeah, and it's very stressful on me to constantly watch the chocolate milk, the grape juice, you know, the pasta.
Oh, man.
And all that. Yeah, it's of course it's ridiculous. The kitchen has tiles, but it ends where the dinner table is, and dinner table is on top of carpet, you know. So it's ridiculous.
What? I don't understand why people are carpet
yeah,
like.
Yeah, no, we didn't even think about it, you know, when we came in, and we have no experience with wall-to-wall carpeting, and, you know, just 2 months into the, or 1 month into the house, we suddenly realized, oh, shucks. So I think some moms can, you know, I have visited some mothers where they really don't care, you know. I have this friend, her priority is that she wants to watch her kids grow up, her kids, you know. She doesn't really give a lot of thought into food, you know, like nutrition or whatever. But she feeds them, of course, you know, but she's more interested in doing things with them and spending time with them. And, you know, her house is in disarray, her toilet hasn't been washed for like 2 months, you know. But, you know, but I also respect her, because her kids are really wonderful, you know, and she's very fun. To them, she's very fun, and they really spend a lot of time with them. Whereas I may be at home the whole day, but half the time I'm cleaning or washing or you know, cooking. And the kids are left by themselves, so I guess there is a balance we need to strike up.
Luckily, now I don't feel so guilty after I hear what you said.
Yeah, you know why? Because our priority is a clean household, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas her priority is that she wants the children to have all her attention. I think it's important that we strike a balance.
I think also she probably does. She'd rather play with the kids than clean up the house.
Yeah.
Well, she wouldn't love it.
I mean, if it was me, like really. And then there are times where you visit another. This other mom that I visited, her house is impeccable. It's like you walk into the house, you feel damn guilty. You know, it's like shit. I gotta go back and clean up the house properly. You know. But she, of course, she only has one child, you know, and the child's already 4 years old, so it's forgivable, I guess, and these are the ways you console yourself, you know.
I don't know. I mean, like you say, you got to strike a balance. I mean, you got to have some semblance. I mean, if you like 2 months don't clean your toilet, it's kind of like scary.
Yeah, the toilet. I think the toilet and the toilets and the kitchen. You have to really be really careful.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And if you don't, you know, hoover for you know 2 days or 3 days, whatever it is, I don't know. Okay lah, you know, not like, I know one of our moms who must clean every day, must mop and clean every day. I'm like, die lah, like that.
Mop and clean, but kitchen and...
I cry. Kitchen, yeah, like, because, you know, you clean, you cook and all that, right?
Topaz, can you talk a little bit about you being a control freak?
Oh yes, very. I think it's I don't know where I got it from, but after I started working, because my job last time was like to plan conventions and all, so you kind of like get to go down into the nitty-gritty details. So from then on, I even picked up more freakiness control, you know, getting into the really details to make sure, you know, everything is going good, you know, it's all right, perfect lah, kind of like making sure everything is down to the little minute point.
Especially I think micromanagement is also one of the things that we need to be a little easygoing about. I also like to micromanage a lot, and believe me, it really stresses me out, man. To the point where you become a real bitch, you know, about. I mean, especially to your husband, you know. I become a real bitch to my husband about certain things, and I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, like Patsy says, control freaks stem from the lack of trust. Which is true, it's true.
Yeah, the thing is, I think it's not like the core trust, you know, the important trust that you have for your husband. It's just for the little things.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's just...
You tend to think that if you don't do it yourself, right, and somebody else, you delegate it, it will still come back to you in the end, or maybe in a
correct,
worse shape,
wasting more
you know?
Time. Yeah, wasting more of my time, but I can do it now, and get it, that's it, finish, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, sometimes it's like, you get so lazy, it's like, okay, like, you do, like, I don't see, I close my eyes, you do,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You do it, I don't see, and if you... I don't see, I don't complain.
I think
that's how I delegate.
Yeah,
it will
come to a point where you, when you get really exhausted or you don't really like what you're becoming, I think that is when you start to realize that I think maybe it's time for me to take a break and close one eye, you know, or else I can really go mad. What my husband says is true, you know. I may not be able to do it your way, but I am able to do it, you know. Because sometimes when we get into an argument, I say, you know, you don't know how to do it. The thing is that he knows how to do it. It's just that he's not doing it my way. And I mean, when I come back, the kids are still alive. They're fed, you know. They're maybe, you know,
happy.
Yeah, they're happy and they don't really give a damn. But I'm like, oh my god, the house is in a mess, you know, why is this like that, why is that like that, you know? And then it really stresses him out, as well as the kids, you know, why is it that I'm... As well, one of the, you know, I went for one of the talks, right? I went for two talks, and this lady, Cynthia Tobias, she was saying something that's very true. What kids remember about when they grow up, it's not a clean house, or oh, you know, our toilets are so clean, or, oh, you know, my mother's sofa is so clean. What they remember is the time that we spend with
them. What do you do with them?
Yeah. So, is that really...
So, get them to clean.
as a priority, maybe a clean house is not as important as spending time with them. I'm not saying, of course, you know, shirk all your household responsibilities, but just to let go a little bit. Don't wash the toilet for, you know, a week.
You don't want to get bad enough. I think it's, do you think it's left over from our mom's generation? Because our moms were like, you know, men cannot do this, so men, you know, women have to do all this stuff, and it's got to look perfect, because otherwise people say, oh, yeah, what kind of wife and mother are you, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Do you not think so?
Because I think also it's also we spend so much time at home as well, and we want things a certain way.
House pride.
Can you close, Patsy asked, can you close one eye if you leave your kid with, you left kid with a maid in your presence? If I'm in a house,
depends on the maid.
I've never left, even when we had a maid, I've never left the children with her without my presence. I mean, without me in the same room. Definitely, if I can't trust my husband to take care of them, I definitely cannot trust the maid, you know. Patsy says her husband is amazingly clean and good housework.
Boarding, good training, yeah, good. Yeah, that's good for you. Then you don't
I
have
think
to clean.
My husband is, yeah, he's been living with his parents for so long that he hasn't really, it's not that he doesn't want to, it's just that he's never gotten to taking care of himself, you know. Yeah, he's well, definitely, he agrees. So you don't do any housework at all, Patsy? Hardly. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Well, you know, here I have no maid in Seattle, so both of us have to chip in.
Yeah, especially when winter comes, I tell you, washing dishes and all, the hands all become hot and wrinkly.
Yeah.
Peeling.
And especially because winter also, they tend to get a lot of flu and all that, right? Mm. So they're really, really careful.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, okay, let's talk about the negative effects of our, you know, compulsive need to control everything or to do everything. Topaz, has it affected you in your marriage or yourself in a negative way where you feel more anxious or you get depressed or irritable when you treat your kids?
I think the kanjong, the kanjongness has kind of like rubbed off on my big girl.
Okay.
She's also quite drama, quite dramatic one. I think my drama-ness has kind of like rubbed off on her.
Mm-hmm.
So and of course I think the negative impact does create some friction. Sometimes when, you know, you want it done your way, you want it done fast, you want it done perfect, and of course when someone else does it and it's not up to your expectations, and if you're not willing to let it go, then of course it will create some friction now.
Mm.
So like my motto is if I really want to delegate the work, then I don't want to see how it's done. really, that's what I told my sister-in-law also when she first got married. I said, you know, she was complaining, the husband, you know, when hang up the clothes, the fella don't flick the clothes to, you know, let the wrinkles out. Just hang up like that with the clothes all bunched up. So I said, next time, if you complain, the bugger is going to tell you, you don't complain so much, you complain, you do yourself.
Yeah. That's what happened.
In the end, it's like, okay lah, you do lah, but I don't want to see.
Patsy, do you think you have that syndrome? Or, I mean, I know you don't do housework, but do you like to control everything? Yes? Can you tell us how? What are you fussy about? Okay, anything to do with your baby, okay.
That's why your little Tessa is going to grow to be a princess.
Hey, somebody is breathing into the mic again.
Oh, I can hear that. It's not me.
Yeah. It's okay. So, okay.
What's that red thing?
What red thing?
Look at the that blue X. Why that red thing, that light thing?
I don't know. Maybe she wants to talk.
Blinking. Oh.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry, this is a private discussion, so you can listen, but you can't participate. Okay, yeah, so Patsy is... fussy about what you feed her and what she is exposed to on TV. Okay. I think that's natural. I think we are talking about really borderline, OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, where you really, you know, they manifest themselves in terms of anxiousness and depression and changing your whole personality to become a person that's very hard to deal with. And I often see that happening when the kids dirty the carpet, or you know, when they start to, you know, make a mess or whatever, and you know, I get so uptight and so angry, you know, and I don't think that's healthy for me, lah. That's what I think is. Who you must have your child asleep at 11 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay. Oh, you see, you know someone who's really obsessive about... Okay. Yeah, I think there are some women who are very strict about their schedules and... I think we don't want to confuse being a control freak and being a superwoman too much, you know. A superwoman may not be a control freak, but she tends to do too much as well. Like Leah's friend, you know. I've got an aunt as well who spent her whole life, because she's a second wife, she spent her whole life trying to make up for her being a second wife, you know, because the husband, is more affectionate towards her, you know, takes care of her better than he does his first wife, you know, my uncle. And she spent her whole life overextending herself. She would go to the first wife's house and clean for her and cook for her. And then even at her deathbed, not my aunt, but my first aunt's deathbed, she was next to her and apologizing, you know. And that was her reason for trying to be a superwoman. She basically took care of two families because she felt that it was her duty, since, you know, my uncle sort of ran wayward with her. And that's really a really extreme case where she really do until you get sick, you know, physically have land in the hospital kind.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
So the baby was just woke up, so.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, your aunt very.
Sorry.
Aunt is very old school, man.
Yeah, I think. I don't know, maybe every second wife feels like that, but she has spent her whole life trying to make up for that for my uncle's, you know, so-called mistake, you know. But that is that's a very direct reason for being trying to be a superwoman. She thinks that it will make up for that, but
taking him away, kind of thing.
Yeah, she doesn't understand that no matter what she does, it will never ever. I mean, the first wife is already, you know, she's already passed away now, and she was there by the deathbed and apologizing, you know, and all that. And it was really can write a book, man. Her life.
This syndrome also can be very closely related to the martyr. How do you pronounce it? Martyr syndrome.
The martyr syndrome. Yeah.
It's quite similar. If we go overboard, you know, trying to do, you know, to help everyone and to do too much. It's a disease. I remember reading about it.
I think like your friend Leah, you know, she feels that she has to do everything because, you know, and she doesn't. The first, you know, I was reading up about steps to beat the syndrome, and the first thing is whether or not you want to change. You know, the first question you need to ask yourself is whether you want to change, whether you are the main reason why you are like that. You know, you want to do, you want to control everything, number one, and you need to feel needed. Do you want that situation to change? And I think a lot of the time, you know, you don't want to. You know, this is the way you prefer it.
I mean, is it like, what happens when the kids leave, by the time the kids leave home? You know, you're like, oh, now what? Especially if your whole life, just your whole life is your family. You don't try and, you know, maintain a hobby or friendships or anything. And then when the kids live home, you're like, hey, now I do what? You know, you don't have anything else. Same with your partner as well, because if you don't maintain that relationship, you're so focused on this. And then when they leave home, you look at each other, you're like, do I know you?
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
Like, who are you? I can name a one example, but I better not, in case I get into trouble. But, you know, this is why, for me and Dawn, we try our best to have maintain hobbies or even try and get couple time, like go out without the children, just the two of us, even if it's like an hour or something like that. Because otherwise, it's very easy to forget or get sucked into all this, isn't it? And, you know, you're like...
What Patsy says is true. It also stems from a very being very insecure about your position or your place in your life. You know, so it's like trying to make yourself indispensable. You know, so that way you feel secure in the knowledge that, you know, people will not leave me or reject me, or, you know, I will not be alone. So you try to form all these codependent relationships, you know, so that it's like a safety net for you. But yeah, I think a lot of women are, you don't hear of a lot of men being so insecure, you know. But
I don't know, do you still think it's left over from the time where you know, women are still judged by their household, the state of their household, or the state of their family, rather than, why doesn't, you know, no one would, especially in Asia, right, not as common, they're not going to go to the guy where, hey, you don't know how to look after your house, is it? Why your house talking about? You know what I mean? It's a very, you know, this, they think it's the women's job to do. All of
it. What about women who still want to work and become, you know, and have a career? They want to have a career. They want to have a family. You know, that's the, all of us here are not working. You know, but what about, was there a time in your life where you were both and you tried to do everything like your friend, where she works two jobs and you know, that's really crazy.
I think when I was working, I tried not to work too much. But I think all this, I mean, the different, the superwoman syndrome, And all this could be biological as well, because in the latest issue of Newsweek, this week's Newsweek, there was this article about this research done by this lady to say that a lot of stuff that, I mean, the brain, women's brain and men's brain are completely different. You know, because of the different hormones and stuff. I didn't read the detail, but basically it's saying that, you know, why, you know, men and women are so different and why women is like that is due to the brain. And the...
Okay.
So I think this syndrome could be because of the way we are biologically and we kind of like cannot avoid it because we're built like that.
Okay, let me end by talking about the steps to beat the syndrome. If you have what you think is the superwoman syndrome, especially when you're working and if you want to keep a clean household and you want to have a family life and you think that you are doing too much, when do you know that you're doing too much? It's when, like I said, you have the symptoms, when they manifest themselves in physical pain, in increased anxiety, in depression, irritability, and mood swings. You feel like a failure, you as a mom or a wife or an employee, and you have the belief that no one else carries their load or does their share at home or work. So the steps to beat the syndrome is, number one is, do you want to change? So how you act to your life's circumstances is crucial. You must first acknowledge your role and ask yourself a few questions. What can I do to change my situation? The second one is you need to ask for help. Do not expect others to read your mind or just to know what help you need. This is very true. We expect our husbands to know what we need, to read our minds, to anticipate our needs. And that is the number one cause of arguments in this area. The third step is to set your expectations right. Ensure that you don't set your standards too high. Avoid excessive criticism of others because potential helpers might get discouraged and avoid their tasks. So don't be kiasu. You don't have to make your daughter's birthday invitations, bake the cake, clean the house, unless you enjoy it and that it relieves your stress. Pick one or two things that you enjoy and list the help for others. Allow for imperfections. Make planned adjustments to your day, allowing for some imperfections. The dishes can pile up in the sink after dinner. The laundry can get done on Saturdays. Your children don't need to be signed up for every activity available in their age group. Number four, set your priorities. Do you want to spend time with the kids or do you want to spend time on providing the correct nutrition? Do you want playtime or study time? Number five, learn to say no. Take a hard look at what activities outside the home contribute to your pressured feelings. Even if you enjoy all your activities, learn to practice to say no to new activities. Number six, take care of yourself. This is the last step where you must feel, in order to feel positive about others, you must feel good about yourself. Find something you enjoy and carve out time to do it regularly. Taking care of yourself physically and emotionally is crucial to being able to care for or about others. Okay, so I think there is a book out there really called The Superwoman Syndrome. It's by Marjorie Shavitz. She's a psychotherapist and a leading authority on how women can balance their roles in work, family, and relationships. So if you want to find out more about the syndrome, you can go and buy her book. Any last words, Leah? I know that you're very sleepy already.
Karen's not been sleeping well, so no, I don't. You pretty much summed it up. I mean, you just have to, I think the biggest hurdle is learning to say no.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say no in a nice way, but to say, you know, there comes a time when you think, okay, this is too much. The problem is, you know, a lot of us do not say no.
And also, to say yes to spending time with yourself.
Days off.
Yes.
Delegation.